بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the one who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praises are due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family, his companions, and all those who follow the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam up until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In the lesson last week, in chapter 5 of the book Ahkam al-Janaiz, the rules and regulations of funerals, we covered the washing of the body of the deceased. This lesson, we're going to cover takfin al-mayyit, the shrouding of the body of the deceased. First of all, I mentioned last week how the rulings of Islam, when we say ahkam al-Islam, we refer to 5 rulings. What are these rulings? When we say what is the hukam of something, or what are the ahkam al-sharia, then what are these 5 rulings are we referring to? Who knows the 5 rulings or the 5 ahkam of the sharia? So the first one is fard, which is an obligation, meaning if you do it for the sake of Allah, you're rewarded for it, and if you leave off, if you don't do it, then you're deserving of punishment. The next one, the opposite to fard or wajib is haram, and haram is that action that if you do it, then there's punishment. And if you leave it off for the sake of Allah, then there is reward. Like for example, so wajib, for example, the prayer. If you pray for the sake of Allah, there is reward. If you leave off praying, then there is punishment. Haram, for example, drinking alcohol. If somebody drinks alcohol, for him, he is deserving of punishment. And if he leaves off drinking alcohol for the sake of Allah, then for him is reward. And then the other 3 rulings of the sharia, ahkam al-sharia. Then we have makruh, which is something which is disliked. Meaning, if you do this action, there's no punishment. But if you leave off doing this action for the sake of Allah, then there's reward in it. And the opposite to makruh is mustahab, or nafal, or mandub, or sunnah. All of these words have the same meaning. And mustahab, or mandub, or nafal are those actions which are highly recommended for you to do, but they are not wajib. As an example, using the miswak. Using the miswak before the prayer, before wudu, before going to sleep, when waking up from sleep, then using the miswak, it is mustahab or mandub, meaning highly recommended. However, it isn't wajib. So if you do this action, then for you is reward. And if you don't do this action, then you're not deserving of anything. And then we have the one in the middle, which is mubah, or jaiz or halal, meaning it's permissible. If you do it or if you don't do it, there isn't any reward and there isn't any punishment linked to it. For example, eating a particular type of food, a particular type of fruit. There's no punishment and neither is there any reward linked to it. And this is called mubah or jaiz or halal. All of it means the same thing. So to repeat, we have the ahkam al-sharia. We have 5 rulings of the sharia. Anything in Islam, we can ask a scholar, what is the hukam of this thing? And we are asking him about these 5 things. Is it wajib, an obligation? Is it mustahab, highly recommended? Is it mubah, permitted for you to do and permitted for you to leave off? Is it makruh, which is disliked? Or is it haram, which is impermissible? So with regards to the kafan of the mayyit, shrouding the body of the deceased, then the ruling, the hukm is, it is fard. And we said last week that there are 2 types of fard. What are the 2 different types of fard? The 2 different types of obligations. We have fard kifaya and Fard Ain. Fard Kifaya is the obligation which is a collective obligation, meaning as long as a group of Muslims fulfill this obligation, then the sin and the responsibility of this obligation is removed from all of the rest of the ummah. And this is fard, al-fard al-kifaya. Somebody give me an example of fard kifaya. Abdurrahim. Sorry? For example, the adhan, saying the adhan. Saying the adhan isn't an obligation upon every single person. As long as there is one person in the masjid who says the adhan, then that obligation and that responsibility has been removed from everybody else. And if nobody says the adhan and nobody fulfills the fard kifaya, then every single Muslim is sinning and is held responsible until one of them gets up and he says the adhan. And the other type of fard is fard ain, i.e. an obligation upon every single individual. So for example, the prayer, it's an obligation upon every single person. It's not a collective obligation, it's an individual obligation. And giving zakah is an individual obligation upon every single Muslim as long as you have fulfilled the conditions. With regards to the kafan of the mayyit, or the takfeen al-mayyit, shrouding of the dead body, then the ruling is, it is fard and it is fard kifa'i. It is a collective obligation. How do we know it's fard? Because in the hadith which I mentioned previously in the last lesson, like the hadith of Atiyya al-Ansariya radiallahu anha, when the women were washing the body of the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Zainab radiallahu anha, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught the women how to wash the body of Zainab, and then he said, once you have finished washing the body of Zainab, then call me in. So they called the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he gave them his izar, his lower garment, and then he said, ashirnaha bihi, that shroud her with it. So here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered the Muslims as a command to shroud her with it. And this therefore shows that shrouding the body of the deceased is fard kifaya. Also in the other hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah, when the person who was performing Hajj or Umrah and he was in his ihram, when he passed away, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered the companions, he obligated upon the companions, and he said, kaffinuhu fi thawbayhi, that shroud him in his two garments, the two garments which he had performed ihram in. So this again shows that because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered them by saying kaffinuhu, shroud him, this now becomes an obligation upon some of the Muslims. In terms of the cost of the shrouding of the deceased, either cost of the garments, for example, or anything else linked to the shrouding of the deceased, upon whom is the obligation to pay for this shrouding? And I've mentioned previously, in previous lessons, that once a person passes away, then the wealth that he leaves behind, the money that he leaves behind, there are four rights or four obligations linked to his wealth. And these are called al-huquq al-muta'allaqa bil-tarika. The rights which are upon the wealth or the money that a person leaves behind. And these four rights or these four obligations are in this order. Number one, ad-dain. Fulfilling or paying back the loans and the debts. So as soon as a person passes away and he leaves money behind, the first obligation and the first right upon the wealth of this person is that the debts and the loans of the people have to be paid off. After the loan and the debts have been paid off, if there's anything remaining after that, then the next obligation or the next right is mu'nat al-tajheez, is the cost of the funeral preparations. Whether it's the cost of any legal costs, or the cost of the kafan, the shroud, or any cost related to washing the body, or the cost of the undertaker, for example, any cost that is relating to the funeral preparations of the deceased person, then this is next taken from his wealth. So first we pay off the debt, then we look how much money there is left. Then from the money we take out the cost of all of his funeral preparations. After this, if there's still some money left over, then the next obligation or the next right is al-wasiyyah. Any bequest or will that he left behind for his money to be given in charity. And we mentioned previously that it's not permissible for a person to give more than a third in charity. He can only give a third or even less than a third. He can give in charity before he passes away. So for example, somebody, he might leave a will in his lifetime and he says that when I pass away, I want a third of my wealth to go to a particular orphanage in a particular country as an example. The first thing we do is we take away the debts from his wealth, the loans, then any costs relating to the preparation of his funeral. And then after this, then we look at the wasiyah. If he has money left over, then we fulfill the will or the bequest that he left behind. And then the last right, the last obligation after we fulfill these three obligations is al-irth, is the inheritance. That which is given to his son, daughter, wife, father, mother, so on and so forth. So these are the four rights which are linked to a person's wealth when he passes away. Al-huquq al-muta'alliqa bit-tarika. The rights or the obligations upon the wealth that a deceased person leaves behind. Ad-dain, number one, loans and debts. Number two, mu'nat al-tajheez, the cost of his funeral preparations. Number three, al-wasiyyah, any bequest of charity that he leaves behind. And finally, al-irth, finally the inheritance. Now in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when it comes to shrouding the body of a deceased person, we find a term being mentioned. And this term is tahseen al-kafan, to shroud him with a good shroud. Shroud him with a good shroud. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in the hadith of Jabir radiallahu anhuma in Sahih Muslim, إِذَا كَفَّنَ أَحَدُكُمْ أَخَاهُ فَلْيُحَسِّنْ كَفَنَهُ إِنْ إِسْتَطَاعُ. If one of you shrouds his Muslim brother, فَلْيُحَسِّنْ كَفَنَهُ, then shroud him with a good shroud, إِنْ إِسْتَطَاعُ, if you are able to do so. And we need to understand that what is the meaning of the word, or what is the meaning of this concept, فَلْيُحَسِّنْ كَفَنَهُ, that shroud him with a good shroud. Shrouding him with a good shroud doesn't mean that the shroud that you buy for him or is bought from his money has to be very expensive or a particular type or of a particular fabric, a very expensive fabric. Rather, the ulama and the fuqaha, rahimahumullah, they have mentioned the meaning of the term فَلْيُحَسِّنْ كَفْنَهُ. Shroud him with a good shroud. Imam al-Nawawi, rahimahullah, in his explanation of Sahih Muslim, he said, and I quote, قَالَ الْعُلَمَاء, Imam Nawawi rahimahullah said, that the scholars have said, لَيْسَ الْمُرَادُ بِإِحْسَانِهِ السَّرْفُ فِيهِ وَالْمُغَالَاتُ فِيهِ وَنَفَاسَتُهُ, that the intended objective behind shrouding him with a good shroud, it doesn't mean that we have to be extravagant in terms of the shroud that we are buying, or that we have to buy something extremely expensive, or that it has to be this shroud or this fabric has to be very valuable or precious. وَإِنَّمَا الْمُرَادِ, rather the meaning of فَلْيُحَسِّنْ كَفْنَهُ is نَظَافَتُهُ وَنَقَاؤُهُ, that the fabric has to be clean and pure. وَكَثَافَتُهُ, and it has to be thick and heavy, so it doesn't show the aura of the deceased person. وَسَتْرُهُ, and that it covers his body. وَتَوَسُّطُهُ, and it's something which is moderate. It doesn't have to be the cheapest thing, neither does it have to be the most expensive thing, but something which is moderate. وَكَوْنُهُ مِنْ جِنْسِ لِبَاسِهِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ غَالِبًا, and also that the fabric that you're shrouding this person with is from a similar type or level of clothing or garment that this person used to wear in his lifetime. And here again, the ulama differed regarding this. What does it mean when we say that the fabric that is used for the shrouding of a person, it has to be of a similar level to that which he was used to wearing when he was living? Some of the ulama said that if it's somebody who was very rich and he wore a particular type of clothing, then he can buy a particular fabric which is to his level, as long as there isn't a level of extravagance. And if it was somebody who was extremely poor and he was used to wearing a particular type of fabric, then there's no problem in using this as his shroud, as long as there is no extravagance or as long as you don't exceed the limits. Other ulama, they said that the meaning here is that the male or the female, it is permitted for her to be shrouded in silk, because in her lifetime wearing silk was permitted for her. And as for the males, the men, then it's not permitted for silk, for him, for silk to be his shroud, because it wasn't permitted for him in this lifetime. And Allah knows best, وَالْعِلْمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ, but it seems that this opinion is weak, because the permissibility for a woman to wear silk was in this lifetime only. As for shrouding, then it's something which is simple, from cotton or suf or something like this, and it isn't something which is extravagant. And then Imam al-Nawawi rahimullah, he said, لَا أَفْخَرَ مِنْهُ وَلَا أَحْقَرَ, meaning neither is it something which is the most extravagant of types of cloth, and neither is it something which is the most belittled and cheapest type of cloth, meaning something in the middle. The next point is, what type of clothing should a person be shrouded in? What type of color? And does it have to have any particular marks, any particular type? And the number of garments or the number of cloths that are used in shrouding him. First of all, in terms of the color, then that which is to be done, and it is highly recommended, is that a Muslim is shrouded in white, in cloth which is white. And we find this being mentioned in a number of hadith. For example, the Prophet ﷺ said, أَلْبِسُوا مِنْ ثِيَابِكُمْ الْبِيَاضِ, wear white garments, فَإِنَّهَا خَيْرَهَا, because white garments are the best of your clothing. وَكَفِّنُوا فِيهَا مَوْتَاكُمْ, and also shroud your dead, your deceased, in white garments. So it's recommended for us that in our lifetime whilst we're living, that as much as possible we wear white garments. And also when it comes to shrouding, then white garments are worn. That hadith is by Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu and Abu Dawud and At-Tirmidhi. Also we have the hadith of Samurah ibn Jundub radiallahu anhu in An-Nasa'i, whereby the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَلْبِسُوا الْثِيَابَ الْبِيَاضَ, wear white clothing, white garments, فَإِنَّهَا أَطْهَرُ وَأَطْيَبُ, because they are the best of garments and the purest of garments. وَكَفِّنُوا فِيهَا مَوْتَاكُمْ, and also shroud your deceased in white garments. So that is relating to the color of the garments. In terms of the type of garment, does it have to be plain? Can it have any marks on the garments? Does it have to be any particular type? Then there are some ahadith which show that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he recommended that people, the deceased, should be shrouded in striped garments. And these are called al-hibara. Al-hibara in Arabic language means something which is striped or has stripes on it. For example, in the hadith of Jabir radiallahu anhu and Abu Dawood, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, إِذَا تُوَفِّيَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَوَجَدَ شَيْئًا, if one of you dies and he finds something, meaning there's enough wealth, فَلْيُقْفَنْ فِي ثَوْبٍ حِبَرًا, فِي ثَوْبٍ حِبَرًا, then he should be shrouded in a striped garment. And also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself, in the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, which is narrated in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, that she said, أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ حِينَ تُوَفِّيَ, the Messenger of Allah صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, when he passed away, سُجِّيَ بِبُرْدٍ حِبَارًا, he was shrouded in a striped garment. And this is in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. And therefore the ulama have mentioned the understanding of both of these ahadith, that it can be white and it can be striped, is that the color of the garment is white, and it can have stripes which are different shades of white or cream or like this. And Other scholars have mentioned how the bottom cloth should be white, and then the middle cloth can be striped, and then the cloth on top of that is white again. And as for the number of garments or the number of cloths that should be used, then it has been mentioned that three shrouds or three pieces of garment should be used to shroud a deceased person. And this is how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was shrouded. Again, the same hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, Ummul Mu'mineen, in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, she said, "Kuffina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam fi thalathati athwab." Now the Prophet, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, was shrouded in three different garments or three different shrouds. And all of them were white. And then in the other narration, there was one which was striped. And this is for the men. As for the women, it has been mentioned by some of the fuqaha that it's permitted to use more than three garments or three shrouds if her body isn't totally covered by three. So for example, she's shrouded from the top half of the body, that is one garment, and then the other garment goes round or shrouds the lower section of her body, and then there are three more garments which shroud all of the body, five in total. And if her body is covered, and her awrah is covered, and her shape is covered with three garments, then that is fine. The exception, of course, to this is the one who is performing Hajj and Umrah and he's in the state of Ihram. The one who is performing Hajj and Umrah and he's in the state of Ihram, then he is shrouded in his two pieces of garment, which is his Ihram, his Izar and his Rida, the bottom garment and the top garment. In the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said regarding the man who was in his Ihram and he died, he said, "Kaffinuhu fi thawbayhi alladhina ahrama feehima," that shroud him in his two garments in which he assumed the state of Ihram. "Wala tuhannituhu wala tutayyibuhu," and do not perfume him and do not embalm him with any perfume. "Wala tukhammiru wajhahu wala ra'sahu," and do not cover his head and neither cover his face. So therefore, normal people who pass away, we use three pieces of shroud or three garments to shroud them. As for the person who dies in a state of ihram, then only two are used, and these are his garments in which he made ihram. After this, we come to perfuming the shroud. And this is again an encouragement or a command of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he ordered for the actual pieces of cloth, the garments which the deceased body is shrouded with, that they should be perfumed. In the hadith of Jabir radiallahu anhuma, in Musnad al-Imam Ahmad, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Idha jammartumul al-mayyita فَأَجْمِرُوهُ ثَلَاثًا." If you perfume the deceased, and the meaning here of deceased is the shroud of the deceased, then do it three times. So the shroud of the deceased, before the body is placed in it and wrapped in it, then the shroud itself, the garment itself, is perfumed. And this can be done with perfumes such as bukhur, or oud, or other types of perfume. So again, the exception here is the person dies in the state of ihram, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Fala," do not perfume him. He is buried and wrapped in his garments. And also the shaheed, the martyr who dies fighting the way of Allah, then he is buried in the clothing that he dies in. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Zammiluhum fi thiyabihim," regarding the shuhada, the martyrs of the battle of Uhud, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said regarding them, "Zammiluhum fi thiyabihim," bury them in their clothing, in the clothing that they were wearing when they were fighting. And in another narration, "Zammiluhum fi dima'ihim," bury them in their blood. Meaning don't change the clothing or don't take the clothing off and wrap them in a kafan. Therefore, how or what are the steps that we take when shrouding the body of a deceased? Step by step, how do we shroud the body of a deceased? And I've summarized it in 9 steps or 9 stages. So the first step of shrouding the body of a deceased person is that, of course, after being washed, after the body is washed, that the garments themselves are perfumed. Before the shrouding, the garments themselves are to be perfumed. And if we come by 2 white garments and 1 garment which is striped, or 3 garments which are striped but they're white and cream are like this, then this is better. So the first step is that the garments, the fabric, the shroud itself, the 3 pieces of garment, they are perfumed with bukhur or a perfume similar to it. After this, the next step is that these 3 garments are placed on the table or wherever the deceased person will be placed on top of, one on top of the other. So the 3 garments, all of them are placed one on top of the other. Then the third step is to place some more perfume on the actual shroud itself. And this perfume is called Al-Hunut. Al-Hunut, or like we mentioned last week in the last lesson, Al-Kafur, when we spoke about washing the body of the deceased, we said that the last wash of the washing of the deceased is done with a perfume. And this perfume can be Kafur or another perfume which is similar to it. So the third step is that on the shroud which is on the floor, we place perfume, this kafur or hunut, we place on it. The next step, the fourth step, is then for the body of the deceased to be placed on the shroud, on the garments, and he or she is placed lying on his or her back. And remember, of course, in this stage, we still have another garment over the body of the deceased, which is covering the awrah of the man or the awrah of the female. So therefore, we have 3 garments underneath, one placed on top of the other, like this. 3 garments are placed like this. And then the body is placed on top of the garment, and there is another cloth which is already on the body of the deceased, covering the awrah. The next step, the fifth step, is that if there is a need to do so, then the private parts of the deceased, there can be some cotton or something is used to as a blockage near the private parts of the deceased, if there is a need to do so. So if we fear that some type of discharge or liquid, akramakumullah, is going to be released from the body, even after we have washed it, then it's permitted for some cotton or something to be placed near the private parts of the deceased. The sixth step of shrouding the deceased is that the first layer of shroud or the first cloth is then wrapped around the right hand side or the right side of the body of the deceased. And then the next step is that the left side of the body is then covered with the other edge of the garment or the shroud. And if there's a need to do so, if the garment is, for example, very, very wide, then you can lift the body up towards the right-hand side and take the cloth all the way around and then place him back down or place her back down. At this stage here, it's now okay for us to remove the garment which was covering the awrah of the deceased. This can now be removed because now we have a shroud covering the whole body. The next stage, which is the eighth step, is to do the same with now the second garment which is underneath, the right and the left, and then the third garment which is underneath that, the third shroud which is underneath that, the right and the left. And then the final stage is for a knot to be tied in the shroud at the head and also at the feet. So whatever is left over from the shroud at the head or at the feet, then a knot is tied to make sure that the shroud is secure. And it is also permitted for something to be used around the body, if there's a need to do so, to make sure that the shroud is strong and firm and that it's not going to fall off or become loose, if there's a need to do so. So these are the 9 or 10 steps in which a person, or how a person, is shrouded. Regarding those people who are shrouding the body of the deceased, then the same conditions are applied to when we were mentioning the conditions of those people who are washing the body of the deceased. That first of all, there are people who have some level of knowledge regarding how to shroud the deceased person, so it is done according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Or at the least, that there is one person amongst them who knows the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in shrouding the deceased, and the others follow what he says. And also, that they don't speak about anything that they might see from any defects or any smells or any liquids or anything that is seen from the deceased person. They don't show this to anybody else, or they don't speak about this to anybody else. And thirdly, the place in which they're shrouding the body of the deceased, then it is hidden away from the eyes of the people, so other people outside the room cannot see. We mentioned, or you'll notice, when it comes to the funeral, how every step of the funeral, there's a particular reward for those people who take part in the funeral procession. So previously we mentioned the reward of visiting an ill person. This is before his death. And the order for a person to make talqeen, to prompt the person who is dying to say La ilaha illallah or Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. And then also we know the reward of washing the body of the deceased. And also in shrouding the body of the deceased, those few who shroud the body of the deceased, then there is a reward for them to do so. In the hadith of Abu Rafi' radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ كَفَّنَ مُسْلِمًا كَسَاهُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مِنْ سُنْدُسٍ وَاسْتَبْرَقَ الْجَنَّةِ. That whoever shrouds a Muslim, then Allah will garment those people on the day of resurrection with the garments of silk from Jannah. And also we see in the funeral prayer that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ شَهِدَ الْجَنَازَةَ حَتَّى صَلَّى عَلَيْهِ فَلَهُ قِيرَاطٌ. Whoever witnesses the funeral of a person until he prays the funeral prayer, the janazah, then for him is a qirat. وَمَنْ شَهِدَهَا حَتَّى يُدْفَنْ فَلَهُ قِيرَاطًا. And whoever witnesses the janazah, is present at the janazah of a person until he's prayed over, and then he's actually buried, and he takes part in the burial, then for him is qiratan. The companions, alayhim ridwanullah, they said, Ya Rasulullah, وَمَا هُوَ الْقِيرَاتِ. O Messenger of Allah, what is the meaning of qirat? One qirat and two qirat. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مِثْلُ جَبَلَيْنِ عَظِيمَيْنِ. Like two large mountains. Two large mountains of reward. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَصْغَرُهُمَا مِثْلَ أُحُدْ. That the smallest of these two great mountains is the size of Uhud. And just to let you know, the size of the Mount of Uhud, from one way it is 3 kilometers long, and from the other way it is 7 kilometers long. And this is the reward of a person who is present at the janazah of a Muslim, and he prays over him, or prays over her. And then more than this, the reward of a person who takes part in the actual burial of the deceased person. When we say taking part in the burial, it doesn't necessarily mean that physically you have to take part in the burial in terms of the digging and lowering the body. Rather that you're witness and you're present when the burial, and you follow the janazah until the burial. Now, there are some exceptions to everything which we have mentioned previously in terms of the type of clothing or the type of garments that are used when shrouding and the color. And I've already mentioned the two exceptions. The one who is in a state of ihram, performing Hajj and Umrah and dies. And the other is the Shaheed, the martyr. When we say Shaheed, we are referring to those people who fight, who die fighting in the way of Allah. Previously we have covered a hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there are various types of shuhada. A person who dies in a fire is considered as a shaheed. A woman who dies in pregnancy is considered a shaheed. A person who dies in an area where there is a plague and he doesn't flee from this plague is considered a shaheed. But the meaning here of shaheed, when we're talking now in terms of shrouding, is that person dies fighting in the way of Allah. We have two types of people who will die fighting the way of Allah, making jihad. One is a person who is immediately killed on the battlefield. When he is fighting, he is injured so much that he dies straight away and he is martyred straight away and he is a shaheed. This type of person, for him are certain exceptions. Then we have another person who is fighting jihad and he is injured and taken back, for example, to the lands of the Muslims or to a hospital or back to the masjid or back to the house, and then he dies in his house due to the injuries of his fighting. And this might be after a day or a week or a month, but eventually he dies due to the injuries of the jihad. With regards to the first person, then he is the one who has these exceptions which we're going to mention now. As for the person who dies later on as a result of his injuries, then he is shrouded and his funeral preparations are like any other Muslim who dies due to any other injury. So he is washed and he's perfumed and he is shrouded like the shrouding of a normal Muslim, and it's hoped that he will be counted amongst the shuhada in his reward. But as for his shrouding, then it is similar to that of the other Muslims. With regards to the person who dies in a state of ihram, then we mentioned that he isn't shrouded in three garments, rather he's only shrouded in two garments. In the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, وَكَفِّنُوهُ فِي الثَّوْبَيْهِ الَّذَيْنِ أَحْرَمَ فِيهِمَا. Shroud him in the two garments of cloth in which he was in the state of ihram. He isn't to be perfumed. وَلَا تُحَنِّطُوهُ وَلَا تُطَيِّبُوهُ. Do not embalm him with a perfume or do not perfume him. وَلَا تُخَمِّرُوا رَأْسَهُ وَلَا وَجْهَهُ. And neither cover his face and neither cover his head. So this is the exception of the person who dies in the state of ihram. As for the woman who dies in the state of ihram, then similar, she isn't perfumed, she isn't embalmed with perfume, but her face and her head is covered. Her face and her head isn't covered with a niqab, rather it is covered with the kafan. So this is with regards to the female who dies in a state of ihram. And as I mentioned, we can use five pieces of cloth with regards to the female. An izar to cover the bottom part of her body, and then the qamis or the garment which covers her upper part of the body, and then three garments, three pieces of cloth which shroud all of her body. And then we have the shaheed, the one who dies in fighting jihad in the way of Allah. And this person, as I mentioned, the clothing that he dies in, they are not removed. So the clothing are not removed, and neither is he washed, and neither is he perfumed. Rather, he is buried as he was martyred. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said regarding the martyrs of Uhud, زَمِّلُوهُمْ فِي ثِيَابِهِمْ. Lay them to rest in their garments. زَمِّلُوهُمْ فِي دِمَائِهِمْ. Lay them to rest or bury them in their blood. However, there are certain narrations, like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did with Hamza radiallahu anhu, and he did with Musab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu, that on top of the garments that they were wearing, on top of the clothing that they were wearing, that he then placed another garment on top of that. He placed another shroud, another garment on top of them. So therefore the shaheed can either be buried in his clothing, or whilst his clothing remains, another piece of garment can be placed over him, and then he's lowered into the grave and buried. And finally, we come to some of the innovations that people do when it comes to the shrouding of the deceased. And these innovations have become widespread, and the small innovations, like for example, writing the name of the person who has passed away on his shroud, or writing a particular dua on his shroud, or for example, writing Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadar Rasulullah on his shroud, or for example, writing the answers to the three questions that the angel will ask the person who is deceased. Mar Rabbuk, Qul Allah, say he is Allah. Man Nabiyuk, who is your prophet? Qul Muhammad, say Muhammad. Wa ma deenuk, Qul al-Islam. What is religion? Say it is al-Islam. These are some of the innovations that people commonly fall into when it comes to the shrouding of the deceased. Wallahu a'lam. If there's any questions from the brothers, you're free to ask them, and from the sisters, then they can send the questions down written on a paper. The brother asks regarding tying the knot at the head and the feet of the person shrouded. Is it done from the shroud itself, or can another rope or a tie be used? The asl is that the shroud itself is knotted from the head and the feet. And if there is a need to use something else to make it more firm and stable, then something else can be used. But first, the knot is made on the shroud itself at the head and the feet. Abdul Awwal, he asks, how many ways is there for a person to be a martyr? The word martyr or shaheed in the Quran and in the Sunnah, it refers to a person who dies fighting in the way of Allah with the intention for the word of Allah, the law of Allah, for Islam, for Tawheed to be made victorious. And for this reason, when some of the companions came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they said, which jihad is the best? Rajul yujahid shuja'atan. A person, he fights and makes jihad to show that he is brave. Rajul yujahid hamiyatan. Another person, he fights and he makes jihad to defend something. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Rajul alladhi yujahid litakuna kalimatullahi al-ulya. That rather, the jihad which is best, the true jihad, is a man or a person who dies fighting the way of Allah, لِتَكُونَ كَلِمَةُ اللَّهِ الْعُلْيَا, so that the word of Allah, it is the most high. So the meaning of shaheed, martyr, is that a person dies fighting jihad in the way of Allah. This is the meaning of martyr, shaheed. Abu Umar, he asks that the debt of the deceased person, does it have to be paid before the janazah? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned regarding a person who passed away and he had a debt upon him, and after a while the family of this companion who had died, or this person who had passed away, after a while they paid off his debts, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, only now has the punishment been lessened from your brother. So therefore it's very strongly encouraged that the debts are paid as quick as possible. Unless of course there's an agreement between the guardians of the person who died and the people to whom the debts were owed, in which they permit for the debt to be paid later on, or there's some sort of arrangement. And of course this is regarding a person who didn't intend to pay off the debts. He had no intention to pay off his debts. For him is the threat of all of these punishments. As for that person who was striving to pay off his debts, and he was saving money to pay off his debts, and then he passed away, then these punishments are for him. We hope that this person is forgiven. However, the right of those people who he owed money to, their rights remain. It's their choice whether they forgive the debt or they ask for the debt to be paid. It's their right that has to be paid. Wallahu a'lam. If the person who passed away doesn't have enough money for his debt to be paid, and we said that this debt has to be take precedence over the cost of his funeral processions and over any charity that he left behind or any bequest that he left behind and any inheritance that he gives, then it is highly encouraged for the waratha, those people who would inherit from him, his children, his parents, his sons, to pay off his debts. It's highly encouraged for them to do so as a sadaqah for their family member who has passed away. We've mentioned previously when it comes to those matters or those acts which are permitted and those acts which are not permitted, that from the acts which are not permitted is for any part of the body of the mayyit to be uncovered. All of the body of the mayyit throughout, as soon as he passes away, all of it has to be covered from his head all the way to his feet, and more so a woman. As soon as a person passes away, then straight away all of the body is covered with a cloth. Then of course, when it comes to washing, then only those people in the room can wash him and just cover his aura. And then when it comes to the kafan, then again all of the body is to be covered. The only situation where it's permitted for the face of the deceased to be uncovered is if it is done momentarily for a person to come and kiss the face of the deceased person, and then it is covered straight away. Like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu did with the blessed face of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did with his stepbrother Uthman ibn Mad'un, that he uncovered his face, kissed him, and then he covered his face again. So therefore, those coffins, first of all, the coffin itself, the wooden coffin, then this isn't from Islam. It's not permitted for a Muslim to be buried in this coffin. And this is from the taqaleed al-kuffar, from the customs and the cultures of the people of disbelief. As Muslims, we have our own customs, our own culture, our own religion, and our own ways to bury our deceased. And we do it in cloth. From the customs of the kuffar in the country that we live, is that they use a wooden coffin. And they are extravagant regarding it and spend much money in it. Now, when it comes to a country that we live in, and by law we have to use a coffin, then we use the cheapest thing and the least thing that we can use which fulfill the laws. There's no more questions. There's no more difficult questions from Abdul Awwal and Abdul Rahim. Then we finish at that for next week, inshallah. Wallahu ta'ala alam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam.